Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at the first nine verses. And when I went through Romans some years ago, it's just so chock full, right? And the book of Romans is much like many of the letters that God led Paul to write, that it's a two-thirds, one-third. First two-thirds are doctrinal. Then from chapters 12 through 16, it's just packed full of practical application, and that's where chapter 12 begins. But I'm looking at this a little bit differently, and just sometimes it's good to drill down. I think it's always good to drill down, but then sometimes it's good to step back and try to just learn some things that are leading to this. And so we're going to begin at verse 1, the speaking of gifts specifically begins in verse 6, but I'm going to just, I think verses 1 through 5 will help us how we can be ready, be prepared to properly use our spiritual gifts. Again, this is talking to believers, and folks disagree with me on this, not everyone, but it's taught by some, and it's not a big deal to me whether it's right or not, but it's taught that you get saved and you're given these gifts, right? I don't know, what I've observed from people is they had those gifts, and then God will use them through the Spirit, and He may refine them and accentuate them and all of that. But it's okay if you're a different place. But here's what I do know. If you're saved, you've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And I believe this. If you're lost, every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights. And so it's from the Father above. So Romans chapter 12, let's read these nine verses. I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Just simple message, spiritual gifts, part two. Let me just tell you some keys, and I'm just going to really take the first five verses, that I think when God gives us, the order of Scripture is not random, it's specific, it builds upon it. And so I want to just capture these thoughts that will help us with spiritual gifts. I want you to know this. Some, when they hear messages on spiritual gifts, get discouraged and they fret. This should be super exciting for you, that you want to discover what God has given you for the use and the edification and the encouragement of your church. And so it is, be excited about it. Don't get discouraged about it. And just have fun with discovering what God has given you that He will use for you, right? But keys to properly using our spiritual gifts. The first is presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Just look at verse 1. Many of you are familiar with this. I did preach an entire message on this one verse. Just a fabulous verse. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is, this would be the best thing we could do. And when he says, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's the mercy of God that would allow us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But it's this. It is, you want God to use you. You want Him to use you and the gifts He's given you, then we must just give ourselves wholly to Him in a way that says, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. I will serve. I just want you to use me. right? And he uses us through our bodies. You know, I've said this a million times. It was wrong. I used to say this through the years. I'd be like, you know, when I got saved, I wish we would never sin again. You know, there was an easy button, chong, chong, chong. I'd push that button like 52,000 times a day. And but that's not God's plan. And I finally figured it out. You've heard me say this before. I figured it out. Steve, if when I got saved, I wouldn't sin anymore, what would that mean? I'm dead, right? So I died, right? So beautiful thing is, when God saved me, he didn't take me home. The best thing that can happen to me is to die and go and be with Jesus. But it's a privilege. It's an honor to serve. And the way we serve is in our bodies. The way you use your gifts is in your bodies. And so what he says is, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We talked about that this morning, right? We talked about just faithful sacrifice. That widow that gave of her, just gave all that she had. Those two mites. God noticed. God blessed her. God would be with her. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. It's not the amount. It's the heart. It's the faith. It's the sacrifice. You want God to use you, you have to get over yourself and just say, whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. Second thing I want you to see is we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, I choose to do the positive because the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. And so I'm always just leaning on the positive, right? But these two go hand in hand. If you're not transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will be conformed to this world. And the conformity to this world is really, if you think of it, it's like a jello mold. The world has a mold that they want you to be in. They want you to fit in that mold. You must drink what they drink. You must speak like they speak. You must go where they go. You must laugh at what they laugh about. Or if not, man, they are going to make it known that you're a weirdo. Delight in being a weirdo. Once you get comfortable with it, it's good. And don't be proud about being a weirdo. I'm not saying that. But once you finally realize that it's bad thinking that they think I'm a weirdo. I'm the coolest thing you've ever met. Not really, but it is when they talk about our behavior is what they're talking about, right? I mean, the world doesn't care about nerds. If you'll conform to them, they'll celebrate you. I'm just saying we don't want to be conformed to this world, but how do we do that? It's be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when our minds are transformed, I have a lot of conversations. I think Alberto will be watching. And how do I know what God wants me to do? Transform your mind, Alberto, by the Word of God. Let God's Word just richly change your thinking. And then he says, then you'll know what is that good and perfect will of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? Then transform your mind. Meditate on the things of God. Think on the things of God. Be dominated with the things of God. And as we talked in our prayer time, or the men were praying about this, walk with God. Have your mind renewed. Let me just tell you, what are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? What are you dwelling on? That's going to impact your behavior. Computers are made after us. Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into your mind, garbage is going to come out. It's reality. Out of the mouth proceeded the things of the heart. And so if we want God to use us, we need to just present our bodies a living sacrifice, God, whatever you want. We need to renew our minds, and the renewing of our minds only comes through the washing of the Word. It's going to come through the Word of God. It can come through, you know, it's not enough. But when you come to church, take advantage of it. Dwell on it. Let it wash through your mind. I'm okay if you disagree with me. I want you to think about it. I want you to search the Scriptures. What will get you in the Bible more than a reading plan is if you are seeking to know God. That'll get you in the Bible. To me, that's super exciting. You should be encouraged if you're like, I so disagree with Steve. He's a num-num. I'm just telling you this. Then go find it in the Scriptures. No, don't you go dare Google it, you lazy bum. It is, go search the Scriptures, right? And that's okay if you, you know, look up verses that, you know, just, you know, look up the scriptures. Have a good time searching the scriptures. I am so excited, and I'm not going to share it until I get to this passage in Luke. I've shared it with a few of you. Don't you let the cat out of the bag. This is a freebie. And I've always, one of the most perplexing passages in my mind has been where Christ, three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. I know what he was asking for. And it's not what you think. And we're going to have a great time. And there's going to be some things that are going to blow your mind when you grasp it. You're going to have to wait a couple months. But for me, I enjoy. You can't imagine how many chong, 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 chong. I have so many things that go like, man, I don't know. But I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to have a great time just searching the scriptures and understanding the scriptures. I love it. I actually love it. Not in the moment. I love it when lost people kind of like, I'm like, and they'll say something to me and you try to act smooth. Don't let them see you sweat. You know, I remember the old deodorant commercial years ago. My commercials all go back 40 years, right? So how many remember that? Don't let them see you sweat. I don't even remember the brand, right? What brand was that? Don't remember the brand. I think it was Speed Stick. Probably, right? It was probably the Lord. Ellen's like, that's it. I knew it. It was the Lord. She has a remote control off. And anyway, how did they get off on Speed Stick? Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. What book of the Bible am I in tonight? But so I don't like it in the moment, but I love to be challenged, and I'll go home and I'll study it. And I'm not going to just be satisfied with a quick study. I want to meditate on it. I want to mull on it. And I want to think on it, because they've got good questions. I don't want to be so flippant and discount the quality of their questions. And we may not have the exact answers, but I think we can principally answer just about any question. Because one of the things that we can always know is all bad things come from sin. All good things come from God. And so, you know, I start there and I'm like, was that good? It wasn't. It wasn't from God. You know? And I mean, I know you're like, oh wow, thanks for nothing. But it is, and just dwelling on it, enjoy the Word of God. Let it wash over you. Just think on it. Dwell on the Word of God and let it renew your mind. I really believe when the Bible washes through our mind, we will better be able to use our gifts for His honor and His glory. Third thing I want you to see. Think realistically about ourselves. Look at verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, I love this. God, when He moves on Paul to write this, He's trying to be tender to this congregation in Rome. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, because what he's about to say whenever he says that, he says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Oh, and who are you? Big shot Paul. Right? But he's saying, no, this is the grace given unto me. He says, we ought not to think more highly of ourselves, but to think soberly. We ought to think honestly, realistically, right? When we talk about spiritual gifts, that's where we kind of get, you know, intoxicated. We're like, well, you know, God's given me whatever, right? And I mean, if I said God has given me the gift of patience, you guys would be like, here's how you need to do it. You need to say, Pastor, by the grace given unto me, through the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure if that's your gift. I'm like, shut up. No. And kindness maybe, right? And so that's why. Because if we're not careful, we'll desire gifts not for the glory of God, but for the praise of men. And what we need to do is understand this. God has gifted us. It is amazing to me, right? I mean, I look at this as it falls. But these guys built this whole unit yesterday, and it was pretty cool. Zach said, I need, did I get the right wood for you, by the way? And so, perfect, of course it was, of course it was. You know, I'm in there and I'm like, man, this looks like it. But 1x4x12, and they said they needed 12 of them. Did you use all 12? Yeah, that's pretty amazing, right? They used all 12 and then five sheets of that pressed board or whatever it was. And just the talent and the skill and the creativity. Oh, Lauren Hott, I didn't know she was that creative. You're like, she really wasn't. She just put me to work for months. For months, right? Well, I mean, you know, that it was, I mean, yea, though I walked through the valley, the shadow of death, right? I repented in the middle of the stairway. And so it was, what's that? I said, Lauren, what did I say? Did I say Lauren Hott again? All right, all right. Let's get back to the scriptures, okay? Is that, you guys would be like, I wish I had that control. Getting back on. Does he know we're tired? This is Sunday night. He has nothing else to do. He needs a life. And so, but think realistic about ourselves. Look this, it's, we're nothing without him. But what I love is, I mean, together, we can do great things for the Lord, right? It is, just be encouraged. That's his plan. We were never meant to do things independently. We're meant to do them together. Rejoice. And rejoice in the gifts God's given you and then use them. Use them for the glory of God. Fourth, I want you to see, remember, our gifts differ one from another. Just verse 4, I've kind of said that. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, I will tell you, he's talking about that one body at Rome. Now, here's the criticism. They'll say, he says, we. And I mean, he hasn't ever been to Rome. But we talk about that when we talk about brothers and sisters. When the Bible uses the word body, it's equivalent to the word church. Okay, a church is a complete functioning body of Christ with Christ as its head. And so he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. They don't. All members don't do the same thing. And so we've got to remember they differ, and the body is bigger than us. Look at verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. It is this. And I mentioned this last week. It's an issue in the 21st century that I think people choose churches like we choose sports teams, right? We're like, well, you see, Todd's even made a new configuration so that I don't do this. Todd is, I'm nervous even hooking this up because Todd's like, you're touching it funny, man. You're touching it funny. And see if it stays hooked up there. I'll preach like this from now on. And then, so the body is bigger than us. But don't choose a church based on, you know, that you can live vicariously through that church. But there is something about being part of a church and rejoicing in that, right? It is, we talked about this a little bit last week. Enjoy your role. Enjoy the place God has you. I mean, one of the things that if people said, Pastor, what can I do? Pray. They'd be like, yeah, really, what else? They don't say that. But I'll tell you this, if we have prayer warriors in Hope Baptist Church, that'll make a difference. God listens to the prayers of his people. And so, whatever, rejoice in this, and I wouldn't have you pick a church by that, but it's this, we are one body and we are doing things collectively, right? It's like, you know, I don't say, way to go, pinky. I haven't thanked God for my pinky in years. told you I did thank him when my pinky was about ripped off of my finger about 7-8 years ago. And you're like, whoa, man, I use that thing a lot. But I'm thankful. I do thank God. I say, God, thank you for my health. Thank you for just, I don't know, I feel good. I feel good, right? And so thank God for a church. Remember this, when we get jealous, our focus is wrong. We ought to rejoice. I want to tell you, there's going to be blessings flow and rewards for Hope Baptist Church with whatever work God does through Hope Baptist Church. I do not believe I will get special credit. I don't. What the Bible says is I will be judged justly so, harder because I'm in the position of influence more, right? We just rejoice in that. So that takes us there. Then I want to say one more thing. I do want to say before I get into the gifts, you're like, you haven't gotten to the meat of the message. Expectations, not gifts. So I want to show you that there are things, you know, so just, and this is just my opinion, I can prove it, but I didn't want to list all the scriptures. The expectations that it's not a gift is that we love. The reality of a believer is that we would have love. It's one of the first fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And so it's not a gift, it's an expectation. There can be greater gifts, people can be kinder, nicer, more loving, but it's this, a base expectation of a Christian is that we love. A base expectation of a Christian is that we spread and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, either through witnessing or teaching, right? It's not whether you're gifted for it. It is that it is a reality. And so I'm going to tell you that if you're a Christian, you will love. If you're a Christian, you will witness. If you're a Christian, you will teach. That doesn't mean you have to have Bible studies the way I say you have to have Bible studies, but it means that you're going to be involved in the dissemination of the truth of Jesus Christ. You're going to spread his word, right? I'm telling you, just pass out tracts, pass out tracts, pass out tracts. There was a guy, I think I told you this story many years ago, up in Connecticut. He couldn't speak and stutter, so he passed out tracts. Hundreds of thousands. When he died, they estimated that he had passed out nearly 750,000 tracts. They passed laws against this guy, and so he just found loopholes in the law so he could go around and pass out tracts. They hated him in that city, but the whole city knew of this guy when he died, because all he did, he said, all I can do is I can just at least give you some literature that'll tell you about Jesus Christ. That was a man that said, I can't do anything, but I can do this. And he did that. He made a great difference for the kingdom of God. And so witnessing and teaching, it's an outcome. It's an outcome. Third is forgiveness. I want you to understand this. It is forgiveness is one of the great signs of Christianity. Remember that in your closest relationships. In your closest relationships, that's where you're going to get hurt the most. You know? And so it is somebody that I'm not close to, they hurt me and I'm like, pfft. Thanks, man. Up your nose with a rubber hose, right? But it's with my wife, right? With my kids, right? And I maybe with some of you, because I when you serve alongside of people in the trenches, you get close. What we have to do is always be ready to forgive. We should never hold grudges. We should never look at anything. Remember this. That's not a gift. That is a requirement. That's an outcome of Christianity. And then obedience. I just tell people this, obedience. You don't have to be gifted to obey. Just listen to what God says and obey. So, you know, I was going to put a fifth, nursery. And Jill's like, amen. That's the first time Jill almost just jumped out of her seat. She almost started speaking in tongues. No, but that would have just been a language that she had never studied, but that would have been for the cause of the gospel. But then she would have violated 1 Corinthians 14, but we'll talk about that later. But so I'm joking with the nursery. Help Jill out. Help Jill out, ladies. Serve in the nursery without restriction. Without restriction. And it'll be good, but I die. So don't you ever tell me this. Well, that's not my gift. Who cares? Go in the nursery. And but it is these, I just want you to know this. Don't look for excuses why you don't do what you do. Look for reasons that you can just proclaim your great love for Christ. You know what'll move people? Is if you're in awe of Jesus. You know what my problem is? They can tell I've talked about this a bunch. I come across as a salesman. I've had people say that. They go, well, I'm not buying what you're selling today. I'll tell you this, you know. Then all of a sudden I get in the flesh real quick, right? And it becomes like, and I'm like, I'm not selling anything. You can't buy Jesus, you know, and I have to be so careful. I got to back off. But I know what they mean because I speak about it, I've spoken about it a lot. You know what will move people? You stuttering, you nervous, you scared, you sweating. They see your forehead all shiny. And they just know this, man, you care. I love going out with teenagers. I love these people that do it because they think we're like a cult group, right? We got some young people. And, you know, we got a little helmet on them, and I'm a transmitter. And that's what they think. It really does. And they go, what about you? What do you believe? And they're like, oh, nothing. Just nothing. I don't know why I'm here, right? But they do that. It's good. I wish I could hey, can you confront our teenager with us? Thank you. You know? It is, it's just speak. Just tell people, you know, I love Jesus, right? And you know, you can get somebody's attention by sneezing. And I'm just kidding. That is a sneeze, man. No, it's just, yeah, that was, something got in my eye. it's that's so terrible of me, right? That's the old Steve. Now, Deb's going to help me tonight and go, you shouldn't have done that. I only do that, Cassandra, for people that I don't like. No, I'm just... That's a joke, too, for people that I do love. Anyway, sorry about calling that out. Just remember this, your gifts. Study Romans 12, 1 through 5. Now let's talk about these gifts. And I'm going to talk about the permanent gifts. Let's look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I do believe, again, this is the only... Now, you could argue, because remember this Greek word means both to foretell or to forthtell. Do you see the difference? To foretell would be to predict the future. To foretell would just be to proclaim the truth. I believe in this instance, when it talks about prophecy in this, because do I think God gives the gift for people to proclaim the truth? I do, but you know, I've not put this in the permanent ones. It could, because I was matching it with 1 Corinthians. The foretelling of the future has gone away. Remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 13:8 last week. It's gone away. So now these, the rest of them, are super practical, and they're super, they're permanent. They're still here today. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It's this. I asked the guys tonight before I came up, I said, can our faith get in the way of the work of God? And I think the general consensus is yes. I don't think, none of them were saying that, you know, our lack of faith will thwart God's plan and purpose, but it can get in the way of God using us. So, for example, could my lack of faith, and so all these guys were praying tonight, and I was just enjoying their prayers, and my whole time I was just, Mark 9:24 is one of my favorite verses where Jesus says, do you believe? And he goes, yes, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. That's that. Jesus, like, man, I like that. And so when these guys are praying, I'm like, oh, Lord, help me believe that. Help me believe that. Oh, that's good. Oh, help me believe that. Help me believe that. I honestly was glad we were out of time because I was like, Lord, I don't even want, I love just inhabiting their prayers. But when it says to the proportion of faith, it is, God isn't asking us to do anything beyond what he'll give us the faith to do. I know. Can my lack of faith get in the way? But God's not interested in you being miserable. Do you understand that? I think some people think God's just trying to take you to the end of your rope, man, twist you, squeeze out every ounce, squeeze like a turnip. That's not God. Whatever the greatest point of love is that you have for anybody, that's just a pittance compared to how much God loves us. God will only judge us according to what he's given us. And God says this, you use your gifts according to the faith that I've given you. That's good. God's not looking to make you miserable. Be encouraged with that. understanding God makes all the difference in the world. If you think he's just out there just looking to just squeeze every ounce out of you, then you don't understand God. You know, the best thing for me is for him to use me. You know, the best thing for me is if I was a martyr, if that's what he planned. I don't want that. I've prayed for it for Jacob and Damaris. But I said they would be better candidates than me. Stir revival, right? And so hope things go well in Argentina. But if that happens, there's no better way to go. But don't fret about that, right? Alberto goes, man, the way you preach, he goes, I don't want to die. Or you gotta die to self, you know. He goes, I don't want to die. I go, do you think I wake up every morning and go, ugh, I hope I get, you know. We just have to be willing to trust the Lord. Whatever he does is for his glory and my good. Do we trust God? And so he says ministering. Just ministering is serving. Is serving. Just, if you just serve the Lord. I watched yesterday and just people serving and the good spirit and the good attitude. And we're blessed here. We're blessed here. I don't, when God gives us more servants, then we might be able to do more. But I love the spirit that we have. I think God's given many of you the gift of serving. Just serve people. That takes humility. Because after a while, you keep doing it and you're like, man, nobody else is doing this. You've got your focus wrong. It's the privilege. Did anybody else wipe the toe jam off the apostles' feet? No, Jesus did. He wasn't worried about them. He was giving them an example. It is serve the Lord and rejoice in that. Second, it's teaching. It's teaching. Does he give the gift of teaching? Yes. And that might be in a more public setting. I think he commands all of us to teach. I think all of you can teach one-on-one, men with men, women with women. He does give others the gift of teaching to maybe teach in a more public way, but he just rejoice in that and teach, you know? And so what he says, I want you to understand this. Let's just watch this. He says, of ministry, look at verse 7. Let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. What I think he's saying is this. Don't force your gift. We're going to see that in 1 Corinthians. All of a sudden, these people could speak in tongues. They're like, hush, not for him. And they would start speaking in a language that the whole congregation couldn't understand. They're like, amen. And like, that's useless. That's dumb. And so what he says is, you got the gift of service? Wait on service opportunities. Don't force it. You got the gift of teaching? Bide your time. You don't have to force it. God will give you the opportunities. He'll open the doors for you, and you'll be teaching. He will. And so, you know, it's understand that, right? And so just wait on it. God will use it, but be ready. Be ready. Be ready. He talks about exhorting. Look at verse 8. And these are just so good, so practical. You should understand this. Exhorting, that's encouraging. That's building people up. That's not flattery. That's not false things. But that's just, you know, building people up. You'll see things I won't see. Encourage the brethren. Do it truthfully. Do it honestly. And just say, wow, you know, thank you. And encourage them. I saw that detail you did. I saw that thing you did. You know, thank you so much for doing that. Encourage them. You know, thank them for just the details, right? Of just people need encouragement. Do we not? I mean, I think, you know, if I were to judge most church services, people come here, the encouragement tank is low. Particularly from Wednesday to Sunday, that's a long time. And so if you've got the gift of exhorting, encourage people. Don't do it falsely. Wait and just encourage, right? Look out for people that seem discouraged. And see if God might use you to help them, encourage them. It might be that one of our ladies takes a lady out for lunch. One of our men just meet with some of our men. Those things make all the difference in the world. Part of my observation, I question everything I do. And I'm challenged. I'm challenged with how I can better disciple new believers. But I'm going to tell you this. When I see new believers hang in there, you know what the best thing is for new believers? They have a friend. Gabe, it would be tougher for you to come to church if you didn't have a friend, wouldn't it? I'm not enough, am I? What? Gabe, we need to talk. But I've watched that. It's not a criticism. And so I've changed my prayers recently. God, give them a friend. So that they might hang in there. Let us teach them that they might grow. I'm learning this patience thing, right? And it's like being a missionary. You're not going to find a lot of Baptist transfers, right? It's like, amen. You know, Bautista? No. Catholic. Oh. Okay. And it is, and so what's going to happen is in the United States of America, and I'm thankful for the ready-made servants God's given us. That's not but it's this. We get new people saved. It's a process. 3 years, 5 years, maybe longer. I want 3 months, Joe. What in the world? Where are you at? And Alex, I'm gonna encourage you. And so don't you get the big head. I'm a good head popper. All right. But I love this. You're a great example for our new believers. And I asked the Lord, what's the difference that you've been Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, almost since you trusted Christ? And I asked the Lord, how can I, you know this, going to church is the least common denominator of Christianity. I'm not saying it's what makes Christianity. But I'll tell you this, if you don't have a church home and you aren't committed to a church home, you're not going to be used the way you should. Got a long way to go, and I love you. You know that. I'm just telling you. But I love you got that thing down. It's a big deal. And I just don't know how to help that. I don't like rules. But I want to encourage. I want to exhort. You pray about that. I want our newly saved people. It's about Christ. But it's hard if you don't know anybody and you don't have a friend here, isn't it? It's a big deal. Be an encourager. And giving. So look at this with giving. He says, these are all just super practical gifts. I really believe this is financial giving too. So just so you know, he says, look at verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I've got it here. That word simplicity. Do you know how it's also translated? It's only 8 times in the New Testament. Liberally. Let him give liberally. And maybe the giving, but it does seem to be this. There's going to be people in here that it's easier for you to give your money away. Giving your money away doesn't remove just the... Giving your money away should not... If that's all you do, that's a red flag. There's a lot of lost people that are super generous. And I tell you, there's a lot of lost people that I think have the gift of giving. They just haven't been saved to where now they give eternally with that kind of liberal, generous perspective, right? And so I will tell you, he says with simplicity, that word simplicity also would talk about, not seeking, praise. There's a hint in that word dealing with that, right? So it's giving with simplicity. Giving with simplicity, right? So it is, none of these gifts excuse obedience, right? And so I tell Zach this all the time, and Zach's a blessing, right? So the women's toilet tonight was overflowing, and my first word, I wake up in the middle of the night, Zach! And so if I have a nightmare, something's broken here. And he went in and did that, and I tell Zach, man, that's a blessing. So how about Alex, Zach, and Mike? You guys get together, talk your plumbing thoughts, see what needs to happen. Let me know if I need to get a plumber here this week. So that's me trying to kill two birds with one stone. That was a serious thing. So I tell Zach this all the time. He's a gifted handyman, and Zach, probably only, it would be limited. He lets people abuse him. Am I right about that, Lauren? Am I right about that, except for you? You're like, I just wish he would just fix the sink, am I right about that? He does. He's, and I think you've got the gift of of giving of yourself. I don't want to abuse that, right? But I also tell Zach this. Zach, just because you've been a blessing to this church in tangible ways, you need to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And I would tell Zach this. Stop fixing things if that gets in your way of reaching souls for Jesus Christ. And he knows that. That's not for me to put a guilt trip on you, because then Zach always lowers his head and goes, oh. It's just ask the Lord and just do that, right? So giving with simplicity. Maybe God has made you with that gift. Ruling, if you want to call this ruling, that's such a strong word in our vocabulary today. It's really leadership. It's overseeing. It's ruling with diligence. And so here's the key. Okay. So I'm trying to avoid touching this thing. We'll figure it out. So I think God's given me the gift of leadership. You can call it the gift of ruling. But what I love is this, and this is you can see it in me. You guys say, I feel it. With diligence. It is, I think it would be against, let me just read for you, and then I'll tell you what I think the diligence is, and I think it goes hand in hand. Listen to 1 Peter 5:2, speaking to preachers. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Have the people do things willingly. Don't bully them. I'm borderline bully, because I know you'll be better off if you do what's right. But you know what I need to do? I need to trust in the Lord. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And so I I got to be careful. I need to do it with diligence, with kindness, and with love. And part of it is, you've heard me talk this. So I'll just park on this one just for a second. Some guys can handle me going, loser, what in the world's wrong with you? Other guys can't. I have to be diligent. Who can handle it and who can't? That doesn't mean those that can't aren't valuable and can't do things. It's just I kind of had one approach. Not literally I want to, but it is just, straighten up. That's my style. You guys can beat me up. But I have to lead. I have to move. I have to help people. But I have to be diligent and understand how I can help them. And it can't be by constraint. That's the weakness. That's the issue of leaders. Is after a while, and I think part of it's laziness, including me, I don't want to spend all the time with you that'll get you to that point. I want it now! And I think that's sin. You see, the gifts can be a blessing of God. He wants you to use it for His glory. But if you don't submit to the Lord, remember that? I present your bodies a living sacrifice, and in that I don't renew my mind. And then all of a sudden, if I rule in the flesh, you know what that is? A disaster. I can usually get what I want. That's not success. You can get what you want temporarily and get people to do what you want temporarily, but that's not God's way. That's not God, is it? He moves on us. He convicts us, and He moves on us lovingly, and He wants us to get our eyes on Christ. So ministering, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and then showing mercy with cheerfulness. We would have a great time with all of this, with Sunday school. Showing mercy. Remember, mercy is not giving people what they deserve. And this is definitely not my gift. So showing mercy. We ought to all show mercy, but there's some that are just like, whoa, mercy givers. And you're like, man, that's pretty impressive. People that have this gift make me feel lost, okay? They show mercy, but here's the problem. It's showing mercy and having that gift. It can be overwhelming because you're always just humbling yourself, taking one for the team, for Christ, and just forbearing, and looking the other way. And let me tell you, it's not through experience, but I've known people that have the gift of mercy. It can be hard. What he says, if you understand this, so if you got the gift of mercy and you can just, nothing will offend you, and you just are a person that can take it, delight in that. That's what the Bible says. Because if you're not careful and you get in the flesh, right, it can be crushing. Because you'll feel like you're just a floor mat, people running all over you, and but use that gift and do it with cheerfulness. Here's how you can be cheerful. It represents Christ so well. If he's given you that gift, show mercy with cheerfulness. Show mercy with delight. And so then I'll just finish with verse 9 and then referring back to verse 5 and 6. But let love be without dissimulation, be without discrimination, be without difference. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It is gifts. Why does God give gifts? I actually have this in my notes. I didn't put it on the last. So that we operate as a fully functioning body. He gives gifts so that our body, this body of Christ, would move in such a way that it would be an effective body for the community around us and the world at large. I remind you, Hope Baptist Church is responsible for the world. And so as God adds people to the body here at Hope Baptist Church, instantly, I wonder how God's going to use them. I wonder if God will take us in a new direction of expanded ministry because of the people that he's added. It may be just that he's going to give us more people to deal with. And when you have more people to deal with, it gets messy, it gets challenging, but it's what ministry's about. I want you to understand this. We are not here to have, pristine Baptist Church, clean Baptist Church. We're here to have messy Baptist Church, that by God's grace, he'll put us in messy situations and we'll watch God do a work. Stop determining what the outcome's going to be. Let's just get in the work, roll our sleeves up, and use your gifts for the Lord. I tell you this, feel free to do this for me. If you think your gifts aren't being utilized here, boy, this is a dangerous request. Let me know. Now, remember, let's go back to that verse that says, let's not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. You know, one reason, one reason that I don't have special music is because I don't want to deal with the people that don't understand that's not their gift. It is. I mean, I've been in churches and I feel so sorry for the preacher. They're like, thank you for that. You know, I mean, for me, you know, it'd be like, that'll be the last time you'll sing. I appreciate that. But that'd be terrible, right? And so it is. So in that realm, right, people think more highly of themselves than they ought. Come to me. I want to know what your strengths are. In fact, I've probably seen them. Maybe I don't understand them. And let's figure out how we can use those. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. When you're in your gift, it's not work. Showing mercy with cheerfulness, that's hard. I need to do it. But praise the Lord, that's not my gift. Well, I say praise the Lord. If it was my gift, I would live, it's like this. No, I'm so tired of you running over me. You could tell that's not my gift. But it is just your gift, it'll be easy for you. If someone has the gift of giving, it's a piece of cake. It's just, it flows. It's not an issue. And just, if you have the gift of exhorting, it flows. Here's what I would tell you to do. Final thought, because Zach had brought up, I see Lauren back there. If you've got something broken at your home, you need to fix it. Are there things? If you got the gift of exhorting, start at home. Right? The carpenter fixes everybody else's place except his own. The preacher will teach everybody else except his own. Use the gifts for those you love most. Then expand.